Blog Talk Radio.
Back again for another episode. Yes, another very blessed, precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Enemya of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very, very thankful to the Most High. Yes, very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. Again, I'm your host, Eddie Miav, Covenant Remembrance Ministries, welcoming you to the show and thanking the Most High indeed for every ear, yes, for every ear that He brings near. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed He has told me, that I have for Him, I'm appointed of Him, quite frankly, to do for Him some very important things for His cause. He told me that I have for Him some very important things for His cause that I must do. And He told me that because of what I must do, He said to me that I would surely accrue some very, very powerful friends as well as enemies. He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, He said to me that I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me directly that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And my brothers and sisters, if they could, they could to destroy. And my brothers and sisters, the word of Yah is eternal. The word of Yah, as he has declared from the beginning, will not return to him void. Is a promise as sure as is the constant the constancy of his holy name. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, blessed are they who understand that even if a whole world has not believed, even if a whole world has fallen from the knowledge of the truth, even if a whole world, my brothers and sisters, has believed an amalgam of lies, Most High will yet be true. He will bring to pass all that he has spoken. Blessed are they who understand. For this reason is the Holy Spirit given, to teach us all things, even those things, my brothers and sisters, which a world would not, which was prophesied in advance that the rulers of this world would not. Do you really think that they want you to be free beyond the constraints of their variant misruling short-sightedness that have created so many differences of opinion, so much strife and contention in the world? My brothers and sisters, do you really think that the rulers of this world, the multitude of their differences, have desired that you truly be free, to discern beyond the sin, the illusions that they teach, to hold men in bondage to their lesser rule? I can only tell you according to all the prophecies, think again. But the Most High, my brothers and sisters, has given his spirit to teach all things, that those who are true to him know they must seek him to teach all things, to bring all things to remembrance. Such is the purpose of the Spirit. For the word of the Most High is indeed the foundation that he has declared from the very beginning, and that founding purpose unto an eventuality is continual. It is eternal. It is the way of life. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who discerning that which the Most High declared from the beginning according to its purpose will find indeed the way of life and peace. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, we had last evening a little technical difficulty, apparently, that impeded the putting fourth of last evening's show. I apologize for that. For that reason, I've done something a little bit different today. Chosen to broadcast the show a little earlier. Looking forward in anticipation of relating more on this afternoon. In some ways, you can say that tonight's show, or today's show, will be a something of a continuation based upon some of the things that were said on last evening, this past Shabbat evening. Well, let's just say entering in Shabbat. Yeah. Not last night, but let's just say after the sixth day of the seventh day began to dawn. Something of a continuation, because in that show, I would pray that we made it pretty obvious. I said I would pray that we made it pretty obvious that the Most High has said to his people, even unto these latter days, that it is a people who must learn his ways. I said it's a people who must learn his ways, even the way of peace, that would enter into his rest, that would enter into his peace. It's not a people filled with variant worldly contentions, misopinions, after the intrusions of this world. But a people who see beyond the illusions, they recognize ultimately, my brothers and sisters, that there is just one standard of lordship, if you will, one standard of salvation, one path eternal, one righteousness eternal. For we are told the Most High will not deny himself. He will not rob himself of what he has expected from this world. And for that reason, the scriptures tell us we must seek him to be made complete. I said to be made complete unto all good works. That means, my brothers and sisters, we must seek to be complete unto all that appeases him. Purity and completion offers one choice. And blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who are among the few who find it. Well, giving that consideration, the Most High surely, my brothers and sisters, will bring unto himself a covenanted people. What do I mean by covenanted? How about a people who come of one accord? We find in the book of Zephaniah, scripture that relates plainly that the remnant of Israel, what remains of Israel, obviously according to Isaiah 48 as well, also according to Malachi 3. I think sometimes about Isaiah really 28, 29, 30th. The 32nd chapter of Isaiah, where it speaks about a people who will hearken to his counsel, that they transcend all the confusion, the short-sighted standards of this world. Zephaniah, 3rd chapter, says the remnant of Israel will speak no lies. Won't be any variances of doctrine. Do no iniquity, no inequity, no injustice, no unrighteousness. They will uphold the fullness of all that pleases the Most High according to his purpose. None to harm, none to dissuade, within or without. That, my brothers and sisters, is what the Most High desires of his people. Again, he did not say a people, less than absolved in his righteousness, would enter into his kingdom, but a people. How about in this age, my brothers and sisters, according to what's in Deuteronomy 29, 29 through 30 and 8, will come of one accord, reasoning together in all things. I think about what that scripture is saying. It says the secret things belong to the Most High. There's some things the Most High has held until this time. But those things which he has revealed, they're an obligation for us to uphold. Yes, even to us and to our children forever. The scripture speaks how in the last days, the latter day, in order that he might establish on this earth the kingdom, all these things which he has spoken should be brought to remembrance. Messiah comes for the remembrance and restoration of all things. Times of refreshing, what you find again in Isaiah 28, it's mentioned directly. Acts 3:18-23, a time of refreshing, a time of remembrance. He calls to mind all things spoken by the holy prophets since the world began. Isaiah 8:16-20 says the same. In both cases, this is whoever will not reckon according to that fullness of a prophet, prophecy, teaching, spirit, testimony, cut off from among the people because they have no light in them. They're still yet the children of darkness. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who, when they discern what is written in Isaiah 28, it says point blank, in so many ways, that when Messiah appears, he shall reveal the exceeding righteousness, the cornerstones of truth, the cornerstone of truth, that according to Psalm 118, the builders, even your church builders and government builders have rejected. He shall reveal the truth, my brothers and sisters, that for a long time has been missing. Says for many it would be a terror and a vexation for them to understand the report, his exceeding report, because their man will find about certain very precious fundamental. That without which, my brothers and sisters, all are falling short. I would simply say, my brothers and sisters, who will be likened unto those worthy unto the kingdom of Yah? That when they find what is missing, shall rejoice. Even as is written in Isaiah 25:1-3. Oh, this is the righteous one for whom we have waited. We'll rejoice and be made glad. How about made one, made whole? Made at peace in his salvation, in the fullness of the healing of his word. The word, my brothers and sisters, that brings to bear, giving consideration of all things. I know the Most High told me, he said to me directly, he said, the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What men think they know, not giving consideration of all things. All things that he has spoken, well, that's not wisdom at all. Blessed are they who will understand, my brothers and sisters, that in the day of judgment, when men, considering themselves wise, bringing forth what they would call their strongest arguments. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? Bringing forth what they might call their strongest arguments. It shall be found, my brothers and sisters, I promise you, that the strongest arguments men might make against the righteousness of Yah shall be found weak. Weak before him. So blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who understand. For instance, we're talking about scriptures like, what about 1 Corinthians 1:10? As a fundamental toward understanding the rest of the book, it says, in the name of the Most High, we must all, what? In the name of the Most High, all speak the same thing. No divisions among us. Third chapter, there's strife and divisions among us. But we're still functioning after the intrusiveness of worldliness. Oh, my brothers and sisters, so many times in the scriptures warn us. Warn us against the intrusions of the worldly. Warn us against the intrusion of the principalities and powers. Warn us against the powers of prediction, the scripture says. Think about it. Any system created of man that is not founded upon initial divine foundation, ultimately looking at the same ultimate eventuality the Most High declared from the beginning, any such institution, my brothers and sisters, the infirmity of devilishness, the infirmity, my brothers and sisters, of foolishness, the infirmity of falsehood. Most High did not say that he would preserve anything that anyone would create inconsiderate against his pure, perfect plan. Blessed are they who will understand this and will seek to conform their being, giving this truth consideration. Okay, I'm looking at what all I plan to go through course of this study. It's quite a bit. I pray the Spirit of the Most High would be upon those who seek beyond all worldly contention. What is peace? Remember, my brothers and sisters, Messiah said the spirit of truth, the worldly, will not receive. Those who are satisfied with worldly differences, those who are satisfied with the world of misopinion, those who are not concerned with an absolute, those who would be double-minded. My brothers and sisters, scripture says, let them not think they will receive anything from Yah. My brothers and sisters, for what purpose is the Holy Spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it? That will rebuke all sin, all error, all misconceit. We understand, my brothers and sisters, that purity and completion offers one choice. So is the Spirit, my brothers and sisters, of Yah given that men might honor the misrule of others, the false, if you will, lordship of others? Any manner of controlling body of knowledge is not considerate of all that he has declared. Remember what I told you, told me. Greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving all things consideration, is not wisdom. How about it's not wisdom, is not peace at all? Purity and completion offers one choice, an opportunity to come of one accord. It's because men have not sought for fullness. All the implications and all the Most High declared. Not choosing to reason together fully as one. That my brothers and sisters, humanity has in so many ways been beguiled after the short-sightedness of many to argue against salvation, even to argue against peace. It is the obligation of every single soul that we confess the holy name. I said it's the obligation of every single soul that we confess the holy name to pursue the pure and perfect will of Yah for the blessed sake, salvation for all the brethren. Whoever has not that goal in his mind and heart, I repeat, whoever does not have that goal in his mind and heart, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, relative to the Shema, the first command of all, hear, O Israel, Yah is one. We must love him. How about seek him with all our minds, hearts, soul, and might, that we love our neighbors as ourselves. Whoever does not uphold that covenant, seeking to uphold the short-sighted diversities of men rather than seeking the greater will of Yah, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, have been cut off from a covenant. In fact, they've cut off themselves. In fact, they've been beguiled onto something far from a covenant the Most High will be pleased with. Blessed are they who will understand that long before there was even a priesthood in Israel. Long before, my brothers and sisters, the tribe of Levi even came to be as a tribe, Most High told his people through the patriarch Israel. He also spoke it to Abraham, who also knew this gospel, this word of peace. The Most High would bring forth one called Shiloh, Genesis 49:10. Scripture says he would come as a lawgiver. How then, my brothers and sisters, since Shiloh is the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Savior, the Shashan Shah, the King over all kings, how is it, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says that in such a way that it's caused men to not understand? Many saying that the gift, the grace of Yah, is not a law or a lawgiver. Scripture in Isaiah 42, it says, behold my servant. It says, I shall wait for his law. Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. How about one who declared what indeed is the law of the Most High? But whoever believes in him, his law might not perish. Genesis 49:10 talks about the expectation of one called Shiloh coming out of the loins of Judah. That expectation must remain until Shiloh come, and unto him shall all the gathering of all the people shall be. Well, I want you to think about something, my brothers and sisters. From the rising sun to the west, across the entirety of this world, the whole world, my brothers and sisters, has not yet come to seek to be regathered fully unto the will of one, unto one peace. Scripture says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. How about all nations shall convert beyond all the fallen standards in which they presently uphold? All the people of all denominations must realize that they must hear what the Spirit has to say beyond what the leaders of the churches have declared. Do you really think the leaders of the nations wanted you to convert unto this truth or realize their need? They wanted you, I'm sure, to feel safe, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, I've heard them say. After these various allegiances declared by men. Because when the scripture says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be, and unto him all the nations shall seek, at a time when he the breath but the breath of his lips, with the testimony of his mouth. Shall he slay, expose every wicked, i.e. lawless standard. I think about the scripture when it talks about the wicked, those false rulers who have intruded into the churches. 2 Thessalonians talks about it. Book of Judah talks about it, talking about those who have entered in unawares, bringing about condemnation, or bringing about damnations and divisions. Scriptures talk about the idea that when Messiah appears, he must expose all these wicked, all these lawless ones, all these deviant ones, perverse ones, our brothers and sisters, who are divided, distracted, defiled, and left without instruction, according to Isaiah 14 and 5. You say the wicked, in the Aramaic, it says, is the wicked is the scepter of the rulers, misrulers, who smite the people without pity. How about smite them, my brothers and sisters? The scripture says in Aramaic, leaving them without instruction. Messiah said it so well when he said, if you knew what I meant, saying to the rulers, if you knew what I meant when I said I desire mercy and not sacrifice in the knowledge of Yah. Well, they didn't put that part of it in your King James Version. But it says, if you knew what I meant when I said I desired mercy and not sacrifice, you would not condemn the blameless. That verse goes back to Hosea, my brothers and sisters, in the 6th chapter. He said, I desire mercy, not sacrifices, and the knowledge of Yah more than burnt offerings. In other words, Messiah said upon the stake, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. In other words, don't leave them forsaken. Speak to them that they discern what they do, that they might not continue in their sins. What does the Holy Spirit seek to do? Teach all things, bring all things to remembrance, to rebuke all sin. How about rebuke what is the result of man upholding a multitude of partial standards, refusing to reason together? Oh, my brothers and sisters, the time has come that we learn how to do good. I think about the scriptures in Isaiah, about the Most High says, I hate your Sabbaths and your feast days. What is he saying? What was he really saying? He despises the multitude of misadministrations of man. One scripture says he is the Lord of the Shabbat, meaning that discerning what is righteousness in the times that the Most High declared, these are celebrations, times of remembrance, discerning what is righteous in these things. He said the Son of Man brings to remembrance. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, what we partake of spiritually, what we partake of physically, all of that, my brothers and sisters, must be under the governorship of the Most High. I did not say man. Scriptures warn us against the intrusions of the principalities and powers, the misruling entities of this world, who in their carnality never really intended that you discern indeed what is righteous in all things the Most High declared. Because they seeking to uphold their pulpits and thrones. I said they and seeking to uphold their pulpits and thrones. My brothers and sisters, you need to ask, have they really been toward truly keeping a Shabbat, a feast of the Most High, true to divine purpose? We're going to talk about a lot of things today, my brothers and sisters. Remember this. The translators of your King James Version, were they feast keepers, my brothers and sisters? Were they keepers of the Shabbat? Mr. King James and his court certainly were not, my brothers and sisters. Scriptures tell us well in Isaiah 29th chapter. When the truth is known, it'd be like a hungry man who has dreamed that he is eating, dreamed that he is drinking. When he wakes, he finds he is hungry and famished. In other words, he thought he was getting good doctrine. But he wakes up, he finds his hunger, he's still yet hungry and famished, and his soul still has appetite. And men will find, brothers and sisters, all they had was word learned by rote. a spiritual component being missing. Words learned by rote. Surface level understanding, my brothers and sisters, which is not understanding at all, not even something that can stand. Scripture says their worship toward him is after the precepts and doctrines of men, because their vision, the capacity to see more than what is surface, is dull. One scripture says they cannot deliver themselves. The book is given to one who is supposedly learned. He said he cannot read because it is sealed. My brothers and sisters, since the word of the scripture after the unction of the Holy Spirit is a liberating word beyond every standard of the so-called fallen standard after the designs of this earth, do you really think the rulers, my brothers and sisters, wanted you to discern the greater wisdom of Yah that proves them foolish? Scripture says, yet that must occur, that his people be awakened. The scriptures speak of Messiah come to prove foolish the wisdom that men have called wise. Why will all gather unto him? Because he will prove the folly of what has been common thinking, the common thinking of men. Scripture says men will come forth and bring forth their strongest arguments. But they will all be found foolish before the testimony of Yah and the judgment. It was an anti-exploitation mechanism that Messiah said, remember that your righteousness must exceed that of all your contentious rulers, else you should not enter the kingdom of his peace. It's for this reason, he said, that anyone who would cause you to be foolish against the truth, the righteous meaning that's contained in the law and the prophets, believe me, to know what is said and not know why it is said, and miss the point. Whoever would cause you not to seek the fullness of reasoning, for to the full capacity the Holy Spirit would offer. Scripture says they're guilty, even under hellfire. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, whatever it is that would compel a man not to seek what is complete unto all good works before the Most High. Well, my brothers and sisters, whatever entity would compel men to believe they are sufficient after the fallen standards of men is devilish. That Gehenna fire, the scripture calls, the translation calls hell, is simply, my brothers and sisters, a place for that which would seek to be justified in its vanities. I can only tell you then, my brothers and sisters, what the scripture really means. And it says, whoever seeks to save his life shall lose it. Whoever loses life for the sake of my gospel shall gain his life eternal. The gospel is the whole word. Whoever would subdue the flesh, the short-sightedness that seems wise to the flesh, by the power of the Spirit that teaches all things, therefore to seek to be fully consecrated unto the will of Yah. That is the one, my brothers and sisters, to be found worthy of the name of life, name of peace, the name of the Holy One. So, giving all those things consideration, my brothers and sisters, there's a need to examine some things to a much higher dimension than I know that oftentimes I find when I look around amongst even those who call themselves Hebrews, Hebrew Israelites, today in this world. Remember, the scriptures tell all Israel to look out, because the day is going to come that many will find, that you hear, my brothers and sisters, that many will find that, according to Romans 11:25, Isaiah 28, Israel will find in the last days, it's already been prophesied, so it is, that the Gentiles, in their multitude of differences, have beguiled in some ways, so many ways, scattered and blinded the mindsets of Israel. So much so, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says they would succeed in blinding Israel. All but the most diligent and faithful souls in Israel. Blind them. That a blindness or lack of knowledge in part would befall Israel. So the times of Gentiles, the times of this confusion, must come to an end. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who have the humility to understand this, because, again, I ask, when the missing component, that missing spiritual component, under right discretion, is fully restored, righteousness fully revealed. Blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who rejoice and be made one again in it. But my brothers and sisters, woe to those who would resist, that they might be called adversaries. Well, I can only tell you of recent time, recently in the last couple of days, been giving a little bit of attention to various forums, various shows. Yes, on Blog Talk, hey, some of the so-called social media that's out there. Looking at the kind of arguments that men have had, many of them call themselves believers, Hebrews even. And I was amazed to see just how long a string of responses and comments there were. For instance, in one particular forum, as to what is the day of the Shabbat? There really shouldn't be an argument with regard to these things, my brothers and sisters, given consideration to all that has been spoken. I mean, one time, for instance, knowing that the Most High teaches all things, bring all things to remembrance, there are truths that he gives we're not to forget. And every time we get a new level of truth from him, a new level of truth from him is revealed, we should take that truth and check it against everything else the Most High has declared, that we can grow in his grace, grow in the capacity to remember, grow in the capacity to see the implications of all things. There are many times, my brothers and sisters, that Israel is going to be called the light of the world to reconcile differences. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who can, let's just say, run a checklist through everything the Most High has said, confirm it with the Most High, and declare what would be a solution to his people. That is Israel's purpose. That's the purpose of a people who shall rule the world. That's the purpose of the kings. Blessed are they who will understand these things, my brothers and sisters. Blessed are they who will understand them, who will be able to declare a word that those who are, let's just say, encompassed, granted the Spirit of the Most High, when they hear the word of truth, they shall know to move after the word of truth. Most High speaks about a day when Messiah must come to speak peace to all the nations. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who have in their hearts a place, room for that blessed word. Like I said, I've been looking at the various forums, and I mean, something as elemental as the day of the Shabbat, I've seen a lot of arguments about it. Find it amazing. Heard people talk about a moon-based Shabbat, whereby Shabbats would always be on the first, seventh, well, I put it like this, the Shabbats would always be on the seventh, not the first, but always be on the seventh, the 14th, if you will, the 28th days of a month, relative to new moons. That needs to be fixed. Heard a lot of other arguments. Some even talking about an 8-day week, 6-day week. All this needs to be fixed. Let me put some things together for you, my brothers and sisters, who will. I pray that the Spirit of Yah would be high upon those who hear. Blessed are those who, is every ear the Most High brings near. And a few things I'd like to tell you about clarifying that issue and then moving forward. I can only tell you, before I knew what a Shabbat day was, I used to write down in journals the type of things that I'd get revelation from the Most High concerning. And I can only tell you that I remember that when I finally looked back one day after a couple of months of this, actually, I remember going back and looking at those times when the anointing was particularly high. So high, in fact, that I wake up in the morning with this very heavy anointing, all manner of beautiful messages from the Most High coming in, highly implicative messages from the Most High coming in, and it was so strong that I didn't even want to breathe too hard. Some of you know I know what I'm talking about. Spirit get on you real high. I'll tell you something, you just want to breathe very shallow. You want to hold it for everything that's there. Oh, wow. I can only tell you that there are times Spirit will get on you like that, and the last thing you want to do is sneeze. It is the breath of the Most High. And will move all through your nose, sinuses and your chest and all through the canals of your mind. Don't want any disturbance. Ask the question why it is the Most High really says he wants no distraction on Shabbat. It's the time the Most High declared the very word Shabbat even relates to what is complete. Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, bring all things to remembrance. It all just falls in line. I think oftentimes about things like, coming back in a moment, you know, in the book of Genesis, Most High talked about the various days. He built something and he said it was good. Built a little more and said it was good. Built a little more and said it's good. Finally saying it's very good. Finally sanctifying a Shabbat day. Many of my brothers and sisters that according to as much as he had done with each passing day, he saw it as good according to his purpose, ultimately unto an eventual cause, an eventual purpose. Shabbats have always been about, then, because that's that word good, by the way, means, you know, it's righteous, it's complete, it's full according to its purpose. Nothing missing. All things lined up. We move on to build and build and build and build. Grow and grow and grow. Growing that grace, growing that knowledge, growing that result. The Most High bringing to bear what he has contemplated as wise in his mind. The Shabbat has always been about seeking what is complete, what is right, what is appeasing, what pleases the Most High. Well, like I said, I remember going back and looking at these journals. Most High methodically, you know, just is showing more and more to raise the conscience. And I remember looking back at my journals after a couple of months. And at a time at first when I didn't even know what a Shabbat was. It was amazing. I did happen to notice that it kept happening on a, especially high on the seventh day of the week, the Shabbat. Passed even through one of the feasts, particularly strong, on a feast day of the Most High. Told me right quick then and there, when I went back and looked and started checking the calendars about the strength of it all. Yeah, my brothers and sisters, by looking back on the strength of it all. What the Most High was really all about. How he would capture my attention in the times he appointed. All my brothers and sisters, some might ask the question, why didn't he tell me more about these particular times earlier? I can tell you why. It's kind of like there's times I've asked the Most High a question. And in a time when I didn't know very much Hebrew, he answered in Hebrew. I went to go look it up in Hebrew. And oh boy, it was there's the answer. You get answers like that, my brothers and sisters, like asking about, you know, new moons. And you get answers with regard to hearing Or Rosh Kodesh. You look up Rosh Kodesh, it has to do with the new moons. Kind of verify some things for you, I promise you. Well, like I said, because of those kind of occurrences, I don't have any question about whether it's a day of feast, what days are the Shabbats. But I know something you might say, well, that's your personal experience. Well, let me pass through a few things with you, if you would. This is a noted fact. There are pagans of all kinds all over the world. Let's give you something to think about. Pagans of all kinds all over the world, all kind of different religiosities that kept, for instance, and keep to this day, the first day of the week as a time for convocation. I think that's something to think about. I'm not talking about first day Sunday keeping so-called Christians. Talking about people from other religions. People need to ask the question. How are they talking about sanctifying a first day of the week and so many heathen were already doing it? Most High from the very beginning, if you look at Genesis, second chapter, Most High sanctified the Shabbat day from the beginning. How did people start setting apart for a convocation a day other than the Shabbat? Pagans were keeping the first day of the week thousands of years. for Rome started calling the first day a quote-unquote Christian Shabbat, Christian Sabbath. Please, my brothers and sisters, there's no such command anywhere in the scriptures. I repeat, no such command anywhere in the scriptures. Anybody would like to argue that case? Believe me, I know what scriptures you might want to use. The answer that you would receive is already present. So, if anybody wants to debate that, not that I like debate, I like bringing about solution. You can call in. The number is 661-554-9212. But right now, I would like to go ahead and continue the course of these things. And perhaps if I have the time, I'll clarify some of those other scriptures too. But I just right now, I want to get into the idea about the timing of the feast, what is righteous to do in them. But like I said, pagans all over the world from all kinds of various religions. And I mean, even in those territories that Rome did not go, I'm talking about the far reaches of China, Korea, if you will, Japan, also keeping first day after, let's just say, what came to be from the times of Babylon, perpetuated therefore. Hey, in contention against the Most High consecrated in the beginning. Well, long story short, pagans all over the world were going to make sure that they kept their first day. And all over the world, my brothers and sisters, the concept of a week was always a seven-day period. There's something to be understood about that. We'll get to that in just a moment. Muslims who later began to keep their Jummah prayers on the sixth day of the week were sure to make sure they kept their Jummah prayers. But still we had a seven-day week. Jews all over the world, when the world came to mass communication, this is what you find amazing. When we started getting global communication in the world, hey, the capacity of radio, for instance, to do international transmissions, it's amazing that all over the world, I said all over the world, everybody understood what day of the week it was relative to their social and religious bent. So I don't think it's too much of an issue, my brothers and sisters, as to whether or not man has kept a constant record of time. We do understand that there was a shifting of the calendar. They call it about going from the Gregorian to the, they say the Julian to the Gregorian calendar, per se. But my brother and sister, it was not a change of the order of the days. In other words, we still had first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day. Always a week, seventh day. We talked about the idea of week with seven days. I would simply tell you there's something to consider. The very word in Hebrew for seven, a Shabbat, completion, seven being the number of completion, Hebrew mind. Seven being the number of completion. You ever stop to consider that the Hebrew letters bet, sometimes read bet, zet, B, it's the same thing as where it's written, it relates to the idea sometimes a bet is a vet, a B is a V. Look at the word Shabbat, and look at the word Shavuos. I want you to think about it, my brother and sister, the Hebrew word for week. The word for the Feast of Weeks, B and V, Shabbat, look at the letter. Look at the letter, seventh. Do you see the comparison, my brothers and sisters? Do you see the comparison? The very word for week in Hebrew relates the same thing as the root word in Shabbat. And it relates to the idea about seeking peace in being complete. Even all people being brought to one completion. The very course of what is the gospel. Say, go forth and convert all nations according to everything he declared. Baptizing. How about purging out all misconceits? Converting them. Because baptism was a rite of conversion, my brothers and sisters, a rite of initiation, a rite of expiation, if you will, atonement, transcending all differences unto the will of one, purity and completion offers one choice. Purity and completion, I repeat, offers one choice. So, again, the Shabbat relates to celebration, a perpetuation throughout all generations of a people that will seek the perfect, pure will of one, perfect meaning complete. Well, given these types of things, considerations, I'd like to look at something that might help a bit to understand. There are those who would talk about, yes, I know it sounds a little strange to some of us, because some of us know much better, that would talk about a lunar course of keeping the Shabbat, therefore saying that each Shabbat, again, would be the 7th or the 14th or the 21st or the 28th day. I want you to think about what this means. I'll give you an example. Passover, in which Messiah was crucified. Scriptures talk about after his being laid in the tomb, it would be 3 nights and 3 days. Since he was laid in the tomb in the evening, it would be evening of a day. It means that he would be in the tomb then ultimately for 3 nights and 3 days. Therefore, to be resurrected, then also in the evening, not the morning. Something we've talked about before in this show, something to consider. Matthew 12:40, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man rest on the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days and 3 nights, same thing as 3 nights and 3 days, still equals the same time period. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, Messiah was crucified, 14th of Nisan, day of Passover. It's also considered the day on which they slew the Passover lambs. Okay. Messiah was crucified in that time. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters, what this ultimately means. And Messiah was crucified in the time of the slaying of the Passover lamb. What it means in the course of then coming to understanding. That day would have been considered the 14th of Nisan. Okay? 14th of the first month of the year, Nisan or Abib. 3 days and three nights later, my brothers and sisters, Scripture talks about Messiah's resurrection, which would have been on a Shabbat evening. You can't make a three-day week, my brothers and sisters. You can't make a three-day week. The word week means 7 days. I think that's one thing to consider, because according to the way some people want to place this lunar Shabbat, the next Shabbat would not have been the 21st, but there is the record right there in Scripture, if we're willing to examine it closely. If you go back to perhaps the last Passover period, I think some of this I explained. It's all in the archives. Again, we will think a little further about things like the day of Pentecost. They call Pentecost Shavuos. Did you notice the spelling? S-H-A-V-O-U-S. Very much like that word for week in the Hebrew. I said the word for week in the Hebrew. It's much to consider about the comparison there. Shavuah, Shavuah, Shavuos, Shavuos. It tells you much, my brothers and sisters, about how we can better understand these things if we're willing. The feast called the Feast of Weeks talks about counting from tomorrow after the day of unleavened bread, counting 50 days, it says, shall be complete. 50 days, counting of 50 days shall be complete. Scripture talks about the idea that, hear me, seven Sabbath, is the way they translated in your King James Version, shall be complete. Well, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that word Shavuos, Shavuos, Shavuah, Sabbath, I will even tell you that in the Greek, even, they translated it sabbaton. But that word for sabbaton could be related both Shabbat, in terms of the seventh day. It could also be related the fullness of a week. So I want you to consider what it means. 7 weeks could not necessarily be that the 7 weeks would necessarily end on a Shabbat, because it has to be a total of 50 days. 7 weeks just means 7 times 7 days, which is why we find that the feast of Shavuos, or Pentecost, Pentecost, look at the word cost. When you say the cost of a thing, penta meaning 50, the cost of a thing, it means you count out 50, cost of it. Okay, say if it's $50 in this case, that's why they call it Pentecost. Okay, if something costs $50, if you got $50, they say count out to me 50. You get the point? What is the cost? Count out to me 50, Pentecost. Shavuos, the Feast of Weeks, according to the command, you count out 7 times 7. The next day is the 50th. So we understand, my brother and sister, we give that in consideration, that quite frankly, since the day of Shavuos, the day of the Feast of Weeks, my brothers and sisters, relates the idea about, again, a week being 7 days. My brothers and sisters, this idea of a moon-driven monarch, moon-driven month, that works, because the division of the months was at the coming of a new moon. When the moon ceased its waning and began to wax, but when you start talking about a moon-based weekly Shabbat, no, it doesn't work, my brothers and sisters. It doesn't work at all. So that needs to be clarified, my brothers and sisters, that it might be understood all things rightly. Prayerfully, for some of you, given this all consideration, it be understood that a week must be 7 days. And my brothers and sisters, that's not interrupted by the course of the moon, because, quite frankly, the course of the new moons is, like I say, when you talk about from month to month, in the Hebrew, it's related traditionally 30 days. 28th to the 30th day, 3-day weeks don't work, brothers and sisters. That's not the definition of a week. Prayerfully, for some of you, that would be sufficient to clarify that issue. Again, we talked before about how the book of Genesis talked about each passing day, Most High in creation created what was good, till finally called what was very good, and what was sanctified and set apart for the purpose. Scripture says that he rested. How about he meditated upon the beauty of what he created? And all mankind, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says, given when he created man, man was given dominion. It doesn't mean that he was called to disrupt anything, but he was created to function in accord. I hope you understand this, my brothers and sisters, to the lordship, the oneness, the fullness, the righteousness of the Most High. Not to disrupt creation, but to function in accord with creation. Certainly not to disrupt the beauty of what the Most High had declared, but to function true to what the Most High calls pleasing, good, righteous before him. Consider it, my brothers and sisters, throughout all generations, of what the Most High calls beauty. I would have you to consider, my brothers and sisters, even such things as we were talking about this. A scripture in Matthew 28:1, it says, at the end of the Shabbat, when the first day of the week began to dawn, Does that not immediately, my brother and sister, since the word Shabbat also means seven, imply also a seven-day week? I can fit across the world, that's what we find. Always the concept of a seven-day week. And it kind of relates to, since the Shabbat was consecrated from the foundation of the world, that that would continue to follow. Except the heathen chose to worship the sun god, and they declared their first day worship in antagonism against the Most High. Well, blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who realize the Most High declared from the beginning is eternal. Like I said, all nations must come unto completion, appeasing the gospel. The gospel, the word basar, relates a fullness of wisdom, recognition and consideration of all the Most High declared. Most High told me the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know, for what men call wisdom, not giving full consideration of all that he has declared. He told me it's not wisdom at all. Most High does nothing without reason, nothing without wisdom. To sit back and seek to say that something the Most High has said is not to be considered or is not important. And the Most High is magnificent in his contemplation and the intricacy of all that he has spoken. To say that something the Most High has said is not to be examined, my brothers and sisters, is quite foolish. Most High does nothing without supreme reason. So come, let us reason together. I did not say after what merely seems wise and human dissolution. But when he says, come, let us reason together, let us seek fully what is wise before him. Hear my brothers and sisters. Understand what he meant when he said all nations must hearken to him in all that he has spoken. He said, baptize, convert them according to all things he would speak. What does the prophet do? He comes to speak what others would not. What does the prophet do after the Spirit of the Most High? Teach all things. No lie in it. Rebuking every fallen, dissolute standard that prevents the people from becoming to the will of one. Blessed are they who will hear a voice the Most High has anointed, truly anointed, that is faithful unto that fullness. Messiah is called the righteous one for exactly that reason. Righteousness meaning having a comprehension and being led to declare fully what is all the will of Yah, that all might in their vow unto the name of him who is the great I am that I am, the great I am all that I am, might be true to him in a vow unto his name. I think about scriptures, my brothers and sisters, like, for instance, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 talks about Messiah coming to raise up a people in consciousness that they might be a light, an invariant light to all nations. It talks about the people being wise who would come to him while the time is near, while they have an opportunity, that they learn how to do good. Isaiah 1st chapter, that they cease to do evil. They forsake their wicked ways, turn toward what is righteousness. Realizing that the mind of Yah is higher above the ordinary conscience of men than the heaven is the earth. Isaiah 56 talks about righteousness, his righteousness, the purity of all that is his will being revealed. And he talks about even to the son of the stranger, to the Gentiles, who would take hold of his Shabbat, do the things that please, appease him, that take hold of his covenant. Whoa, purity and completion, fully appeasing the Most High. That is a covenant. He didn't say anybody choosing after the constraints of men to deny the fullness of his will. He didn't give the rulers of the nations a right to talk about a supremacy above his command. He said all power, all authority, all rulership from on high, even the way of the rule of righteousness has been given unto him. The authority to declare fully what is the way of the kingdom of Yah, he said, been given unto him. Go forth and teach all nations. Oh, I mean beyond all the rulers. Converting all nations, discipling, disciplining all the nations, according to what is the fullness of the law. Yes, I said a law. Think about it. If you really think closely about the book of Jacob, we can understand this. He said, teach them to do everything that he would declare. How about everything the prophet would declare? Under the fullness of divine righteousness, no man falls short after his vanity. I look at the book of Jacob, and it says, beyond all the provocations of the nations. Think about it. See, if you're scattered among the provocations of the nations, the temptations of the nations, the word provocation and temptation are the same. And because the nations provocative in that they, in their short-sightedness, the lack of firmity, the lack of a sure foundation after the will of one, they are confusion by nature in their multitude of differences among the nations. They are confusion. They are Babylon. They are contentions against the greater wisdom of Yah, seeking to uphold their separatist standards. So it is with the various governments and denominations of this world. But he said, if you're scattered among the nations amidst the multitude of provocations, how about variant, short-sighted, partial, polluted, perverse standards whereby men argue about what is right and wrong? Remember, he said, that your faith, your patience, and your perseverance in the Most High must still bring forth a perfect work. There's still one standard for us all. He's talked about the idea about if you lack discretion, the kind of discretion to see beyond all these impurities, all these afflictions, all these wounds in the conscience of men against divine righteousness. He said you must inquire, ask of Yah. You must still be made complete. You must still be made whole. Realizing the Most High told Abraham, walk after his perfect will, his complete will. That would be a blessing to all nations. Didn't I say everybody walking after their own contentions would be a covenant at all? Didn't I say everybody walking after their own ideas would be a blessing? All such thinking, my brothers and sisters, is abuse. In fact, my brothers and sisters, is an insult against the righteous of Yah when the Most High would offer greater and men choose lesser. See, if any man sin willfully, how about choose to remain after a stagnant, fallen standard after the Most High would reveal the knowledge of the truth? He has insulted, blasphemed the spirit of grace. The grace of Yah that reveals a greater rule than that of man, because the Most High will perform all that he has declared. I did not see according to all the unstable, destabilizing to men, ideals of men. So consider, the scripture says, beyond all the mockery, the misrepresentations of man, you must discern beyond all this worldly double-mindedness. If you don't seek beyond this confusion unto what is absolute, he said, don't consider that you receive anything from Yah. In fact, my brother and sisters, anything that men think they have heard that would tell them to compromise the will of the Most High, that's from another place, my brother and sisters, it's not the gift of Yah. He said, let not such a man think he will receive anything from Yah if he seeks to preserve confusion then. Must come with a pure heart. For the double-minded man, he says, unstable in all his ways. Later on, the midst of scriptures in the 11th chapter, it talks about how all the mindset of the flesh, all mindset of the flesh, is like the grass that withers and the flower that fades when the Most High's rebuke of a strong testimony comes upon it. Those of you who know where that scripture comes from, it's in Isaiah 11. Comfort ye, O my people. Oh, talking about the times of your warfare, your contentions, your misopinions must come to an end. Talk about all the concepts of the flesh. Self-will. I didn't say not say inspired. Must become no more. Scripture talks about the coming forth of one who will say to humanity, have you not heard, have you not understood, there's no searching of all that is divine understanding, so therefore you should have kept always looking. And because man has not discerned the need to seek righteousness beyond that of all his rulers, besides that your righteousness must succeed that of your contentious rulers, else should not enter the kingdom of peace. So did he say that people should remain under the contentions of a multitude of false rulers seeking to uphold their own so-called pulpits and thrones against his sovereignty, and say that men shall yet be part of his kingdom of peace? Think about it. You must overcome the world in its worldliness, its differences, its misopinion, its strife that's a result of a carnal mind. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The scripture says that though even young men might become weary, how about spiritually deprived, spiritually weak, not discerning what the Spirit would teach to stabilize the mind and the heart? He says, though even young men might become weak over the course of time, Israel scattered among the nations, Nations all seeking to call men wise according to their variant allegiances, defying against allegiance unto Yah. Even His Holy One, the Messiah, whom Scripture says, unto Him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Even unto Him shall mighty men come. Meaning even the rulers shall come and bow before Him that the Most High has chosen. Who will come forth saying, as the Scripture says, surely shall one say, in the Most High have our righteousness and strength. What does the Scripture say in Isaiah 40, 27 going through 41? It talks about a righteous one the Most High would raise up, who would subdue the kings, who would overcome and show man beyond all the unrighteousness of the rulers who have blinded and kept mankind in captivity. He said he would give them as dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow. We've talked before about that word for sword. Basically relates a pure, perfect word. Read Revelation 3rd chapter. It talks about that. He said either you seek whether it is perfect work or he can come against you with the sword of his mouth. That sword, my brothers and sisters, is the sword by which he judges all mankind according to a perfect righteousness. And blessed are they who will understand that. Don't know what I'm talking about? Please go back to the archives. The last week or so, I've spoken about this many times. I think about the scriptures in Isaiah 56 where it finally says, then, my brothers and sisters, according to the righteousness of that one who will declare absolute righteousness to mankind, there be no more contentions. Isaiah 56, it says, also to the son of the strangers, the Gentiles, who take hold of his Shabbat, to do the things that please him. He will give them also a name as great as sons and daughters. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, because this house must be a house of prayer for all people, one standard to all nations. The scriptures also go on and talk about how many under their rulers have not recognized that the sheep have not recognized that shepherds were wolves. He said the very last one of them, all going after his own advantage, which seems wise, preach only what seems wise in their own hearts, according to their own agendas. None discerning, my brothers and sisters, that is the righteous man, it says in 57 and 1, that overcomes, let's just say that will survive the wrath that is to come. And think about it, my brothers and sisters, anytime man upholds a fallen standard of any kind, and trust in a fallen standard of any kind, as the Most High told me, every lie a man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater truth. And the end result is that man, becoming prideful and self-righteous, is fatally flattered by his rulers, oftentimes even willing to pay men to flatter them to death. Hey, deceive men, taught illusions, compelling them not to seek the greater truth. Oftentimes such, my brothers and sisters, of what rather believe a deceiver, someone who sets blocks in the minds rather than accept that they have been deceived. But in Isaiah 58:57, it talks about the idea that many of my brothers and sisters would mock even the Most High because of their love of their rulers. But he said, if you seek comfort in them, they'll all be swept away. But those who put their trust in him shall inherit the land and possess his holy mountain. He talks about getting the stumbling blocks out of the way of his people. The stumbling blocks, my brothers and sisters, the very ideas of rulers. I look further, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 57. Then Isaiah 58. And it finally has a scripture there that says, get the deceits from your midst. How about whatever it is that's a fallen standard in your mind that you have exalted and called a Lord and a God to you? Seek beyond them all, that your light should go forth speedily. He talks about, my brothers and sisters, no longer being subject to those who would place their false authority over his Shabbat. He said, when all his people in his Shabbat shall seek the completion of his will according to all that is his righteousness, then shall we inherit, be heirs unto the inheritance promised to Jacob, our father. My brothers and sisters, if you understand this, the Shabbat, my brothers and sisters, is a thing governed after the Spirit of the Most High. Messiah said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Shabbat, meaning that the rulers, even of that time, in so many ways, being appointed by Rome. I hope you heard me. I said appointed by Rome. Some few decades before the birth of Messiah, Rome had come in, killed off all the priests. Afterward, the priests said they had no king but Caesar, equating to saying they had no God but Caesar. You think about that hypocrisy the Messiah said must be overcome. So, that what misrepresentation that is, that he said that the people must overcome. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, what did he say? You should have no other God but him, no other standards you exalt but his. That means there's one righteousness. So you should not make yourself any graven image. How about you should not establish any institution after the vanity of one's own mind? And think about it. Men have created a multitude of churches, governments, and everything else, exalting the short-sightedness that does not appease Yah according to what seems right to men. There wouldn't be 45,000 denominations if everybody sought the whole righteousness according to what is the gospel. It means a whole lot of your pastors out here claiming to preach the gospel are preaching you a lie. It's not the whole word. If you check out my website, hiddengospel.com, you'll find a lot of truths there. The scripture said in advance, your rulers will not tell you. Articles like Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Articles like the Secret City Prophecies. You need to ask your question, your pastors, why they didn't teach you these things. Why your rulers these days don't teach these things. The Gospel of Shiloh. Article called Great Tribulation, 70 to 365 AD. Remember the promise. Scriptures talk about it in Isaiah 29 because the rulers would not uphold the fullness of these things. That the book to them is sealed. How can they teach it to you? Remember, my brothers and sisters, the translators of your Bible were not feast keepers, nor Shabbat keepers. Do you think they wanted to reveal to you the nature of their sin, or did they translate things in such a way? Heaven help us. In many ways, they translated things in such a way that it might be taken out of context when it could be clarified so much better. Exodus, we were talking about. It says, you shall not take his name in vain. You shall not swear by his name according to any fallen standard. Did you hear me? You shall not swear by his name according to any fallen standard associated with him, causing division among your people. Anyone who would make others to fall short, creating curses among the people. When the scripture says, blessed are they who bless Israel, and blessedness is a matter of looking for a fullness, completion, that all might be one, purity and completion offering one choice. What would curse, then, creating a multitude of short-sighted standards? Scripture says, guilty even unto hellfire. Blessed are they who bless Israel, and then cursed are they who curse. Blessed are they, who seek the whole truth for the sake of a covenant preserved among the people. And cursed to those, my brothers and sisters, who will not confirm what is written in the book of the law to do it in its fullness. Something to be understood, my brothers and sisters. There's a lot to be understood about this. Like I say, I do this show on a regular basis, practically every day. I might, those who might want to ask greater questions about these things, the call-in number is 661-554-9212. I'm looking at my time. I got about 11 minutes. I want to continue this discussion. Maybe more I might talk about regarding this tonight as a follow-up. But I want you to consider. Scripture says, remember the Shabbat day to keep it holy. How about keep it pure unto the will of one? That's what the word holy means. Pure and complete unto the will of one. Not talking about having distractions in that time after other things. Well, what makes people think that the intrusions of false doctrine are allowed? Please, my brothers and sisters, the Most High did not declare a day or commemoration, a celebration of the lies, misconceits, the false doctrine of this world. It must be guided after his Holy Spirit, after a pure testimony. And blessed are they who will understand that. He said, 6 days he created heaven and earth, and 7 days he rested. My brothers and sisters, that commemoration to this very day has not changed. Blessed are they who will understand it. We talked a bit about that also on last evening, our last show. Go back and listen to all things that were said there and its implications. So I'd like to bring this to Colossians 2. Because the Most High did not declare a time for his people to argue. He did not declare a time for people to sit back and talk about, okay, well, they're in a different church where they don't argue about their still short-sighted doctrines. He declared a time of brothers and sisters for all his people in that holy time to seek him after one spirit, that they all speak the same thing, preparing to be made a people worthy of entering into the peace of the Most High. And remember what I was saying to you, my brothers and sisters. The Most High himself must be the master that we seek with regard to all things he has declared. Colossians 2:16 says ultimately this. Think about it. 2:8 says, beware the intrusions of the principalities and powers, the rulers among the nations that are not after the Kurdi. I know they put down the word Christ there, but if you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Kurdi, I'm talking about the one scriptures prophesied of who Yeshua said he is, who had come to prove foolish all the variant ideals of all the nations and all the rulers. Yes, all your pastors, priests, rabbis, and wherever standard that the Most High told me, because it wasn't considerate of all things, was not wisdom. Most High called it foolishness. Because the word foolish, false, fallen, FL and FLS keep coming back. Understand, it means the standard that deceives men to think is sufficient, but it is not. Scripture says in Isaiah 28, when Messiah appears, it will be a terror for men to understand the report that the standards that they upheld were falling short, insufficient. My brothers and sisters, when righteousness is revealed, the greater spiritual component is revealed that has been missing for so very long. Blessed are they who rejoice, I say again, in attaining the knowledge of this truth. Blessed are they who rejoice in finding what is lost. I think so often about that parable talking about the woman that found that 10th coin that was missing. And upon finding it, she called all around and said, come and rejoice with her, so she has found that which is lost. Many can identify with losing some money and finding it. But my brothers and sisters, how many of us can rejoice in finding the truth of the Most High? As the scripture said in advance that the rulers would hide, successfully hide, even to the most diligent souls in Israel until the appointed time. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, be humble enough to be in that day be healed? He said, therefore let not, if you will, and I'm translating this as one who is a feast keeper, as one who does keep Shabbat, who does realize the Most High wants his people pure and complete in all things that he has said. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, I speak as one who speaks in the authority of one who has heard from the Most High. Colossians 2:16, if related much more in the context of what one should understand. He told me, if you know what's said and don't know why it's said, you're missing the point. Would be much more rendered in this wise. How about therefore, since he said, let not the principalities and powers act as your judge, since he said, beware the intrusion of the principalities and powers, beware those then who will cause you to fall short of what is righteousness in the name of him unto whom you should be baptized and led by. Since he said, according to 2:14 through 16, he spoiled the commandments and he put the principalities and powers to open shame. The scripture says, destroy the commandments contained in ordinances. How about converted you beyond the ordinances of the rulers who would keep you blind to the righteousness of Yah? He said, for therefore let not men's carnal misruling principalities, let them not be those who could dissuade or destabilize your judgment to create, get my point, varying instabilities, debates and doubts. Think about what I told you earlier about the book of Yaakov called James. He said, in much provocation, destabilizing influences, provocations against the righteousness of Yah among the nations, realize you must inquire of Yah to still be made perfect, complete unto all good works, not double-minded. He said, don't let anyone then destabilize your judgment regarding what is proper to eat, proper to drink. The Most High gave laws regarding these things and what's to be observed in his holy times. In fact, what is all his people must observe ultimately if they are going to be true to him, what they must mature into if they're going to be true unto him. How about, my brothers and sisters, since he's talking about judgment and discretion, it's not only physicality that we're talking about, physical things we partake of, but also spiritual. Looks like I might need a little bit more time, so I'm going to do something about that as we speak and make sure I get in everything I wanted to say. Looks like we only have a few minutes left otherwise. Okay, that is accomplished. Thank God for that. Let's see. Let me get it. Alrighty, daddy. Yes, I think we have it now. Okie dokie. I'm asked to get a little extra time. He says, therefore, letting after misruling carnal principalities and powers, how shall carnal men discern or rightly declare a holy thing? Therefore, let not men's carnal principalities and powers dissuade your judgment, destabilize your judgment, or keep you unstable after the ways of men rather than Yah, regarding what is proper to eat, proper to take into your mind, heart, and soul. Physically or spiritually in that regard. I'm talking about doctrinally. We all should have the same doctrine. And the time that the Most High has appointed for his feast days. And the new moons are the beginning of the months. And in the day of the Shabbat. Think about it, my brothers. This is not a debate as to whether or not the Shabbats and feasts should be kept. Question, my brothers and sisters, is since these people that the gospel is going forward toward to were people who had to convert from the faulty foundations and the lack of discretion that was among the nations. My brothers and sisters, even the lack of discretion on the part of their rulers who had been partial in the law. Think about what the scriptures are actually saying, my brothers and sisters, that all these varying contentions we have with regard to doctrine, some even arguing about what days of the Shabbats and the feasts, are that which is, he said was sure to come, soon as the gospel spread to those who lack foundation. But he was saying that the righteous surety, discerning indeed what is good in all these things, is revealed. The substance, the righteous surety, correct discretion in these things is revealed in the Messiah, the Kurdi himself. Remember Isaiah 40:27-41:4, Isaiah 40:20-45:6. So many scriptures relating to the coming of the Messiah, the Kurdi, the righteous one, the one who declares according to all righteousness, is that he will declare a standard, even a truth, my brothers and sisters, for a long time the world has been blind to. Isaiah 44:20-45:6 reflects Isaiah 40:27-41:4. In all cases, talking about one who exposed the unrighteousness of the rulers. It's reflected again in 1 Corinthians 4:5, about 3:18-4:5. And it talks about don't consider yourself righteous or wise after any of the varying contentions of this world. So if you consider yourself wise after multiple contentions, say consider yourself foolish, deceived, and having believed a multitude of, let's just say, having no discretion to see beyond the wiles of a devil. That you might become wise, that you might pursue and inquire of Yah, that you might become wise. He said Messiah would come. Even the Apostle Shaul said, I know nothing by which I am guilty, but I might not be right in this. Nothing by which I am falling short. He said, but I might not be right in this. Son of Man is Lord of Shabbat? Think about it. Say, he knows nothing which he is guilty. We might not be right in this. Let us not consider ourselves so wise and then perfect before the time. Not certainly not after our flesh. Until Messiah comes to reveal those hidden things that men have not considered. How about Isaiah 52:15-53:1? And then shall every man know how to praise, give true honor, and what is acceptable according to divine standard, fullness of his righteousness unto Yah. My brothers and sisters, we're talking about transcending all the fallen standards of men, conversion beyond all the fallen standards of men, unto a standard, my brothers and sisters, no longer foolish but wise, given consideration of all the Most High has declared. Scriptures go on, my brothers and sisters, in this regard. Let me move quickly. Perhaps I can put this in. I'm going to go ahead and put it in here and tell you about how it's translated in your King James Version. But if you look at it closely, it relates to the idea, my brothers and sisters, seeking beyond the constraints of every carnal mind. I'd like to look at We're there now, okay. He said these disturbances and contentions wrought by men are shades. Get my point. Or they put down shadow. Shades have many different variances, okay? We go back to this, 2:17. These are shadow things to come. These shady contentions, these variances and contentions. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The scriptures tell you that if at any time the people of Yah see variant contentions and disruptions and divisions and difference of opinion among us, among them, hey, you should be very suspect that there is something in the midst that is not quite right. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? Aware and knowing that you must seek Yah for what would be a healing for his people, you are obligated to do so. Because something, did you hear, my brothers and sisters, is not quite right. If you can be satisfied with not knowing any better, my brothers and sisters, that is not the result of the Spirit of Yah. Shadow thing to come, shades, variances. Remember the scriptures talk about in the book of Yaakov? They call James. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, in whom there's no variance nor shadow. How about variance, shades of changing, variableness? How about, my brothers and sisters, shady, meaning dubious character, seeking to hide the truth? Spirit of Yah seeks to teach all things. Who is it then, my brothers and sisters, will hide the truth from you, will try to hide right discretion from you, will keep you unaware, silent, inconsiderate? The concept of dumbness was related to the idea about, in other words, Most High could reveal a greater truth for you and you don't realize the nature of his wisdom because it's above your head. Who is it, my brother and sister, would keep people unaware of what's necessary to make connection with the greater truth? Who is it, my brother and sister, that is of such dubious character, such dishonest character? In other words, get my point, not honorable. Not just, not fair, seeking to hide from the people what's necessary for them to be saved, for them to necessary for them to be at peace, for them to be worthy of rest and peace the Most High. Hey, who is it, my brothers and sisters, that would cast debate and doubts against the truth of the Most High, leaving things questionable rather than seeking what is an absolute? All my brothers and sisters, I translated these things to try to make things as clear as it is possible. Relating the substance, for the Most High told me directly to know what it said and not know why it says to miss the point. Remember Daniel 7:25 says the beast, the variant rule of the nations. Yes, the word for beast, the word goyim, the word for Gentile, relates those who would function as beasts, not reasoning as men, not as Manu, not as God mind, seeking to uphold the ideals of undisciplined flesh rather than the will of one. The very word for Gentile, the word goyim, which relates to a troop of unreasoning, less than conscious animals, if you will. Just telling you what the word means. Say the beast, the nations, will seek to change times and laws. How about seeking to preserve their corruptions? How about, my brothers and sisters, that they would seek to pollute even the feast of the Most High for the ways of their uncleanness? In the book of Acts, in the 15th chapter, it talks about, hey, how the disciples had to tell folks, had to tell the Gentiles, not bring in their fornications after all their paganisms. He had to tell them not to bring their animals, uncautious, pollutions after the manner offered to idols. Hey, we talked about this before. Hebrews were told that if they brought an offering to the Most High, they had to kosher the animal. There's a way to do it. Drain its blood. They would cut veins in the neck, veins under the arms or the legs of an animal. Between the legs, they would cut the main artery there. One in the neck, in the stomach area, if you will. Main artery is there. That the very heartbeat of the animal itself would drain it of his blood, because the first thing the blood is drained from is the muscle meats. And they did not eat the organ meats, my brothers and sisters. So we understand what he was telling them. Because the scriptures tell us well that in the eventuality, in Isaiah 66, if any man brings forth their swines, fresh creeping things, and mice, he said he would take the blood out from between their teeth. Say, if any man partake of these things, they should be consumed together. Most High wants his people healthy. I can only tell you that in countries where they are aware of these things, the level of colon cancer and so many other diseases is far, far less. Far less heart disease, far less colon cancer, so far less so many diseases, my brothers and sisters. And in a world like the one in which we live today, they use so many doggone hormones and everything, heaven help us. You have to be far, far wider than this, my brothers and sisters. I would have you to consider that the people of Yah, since we look around us today and we see so many different denominations and different people's opinions being declared among us. I said opinions. I did not say they were right. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that has power to overcome the flesh, to overcome all this misopinion of man? That the end result of it all shall be at last a people consecrated purely after what the Most High declared from the beginning, eternal. If they hear that knowledge from you and how that one shall appear, as the scripture says, will come forth saying morning by morning that the Most High caused my ear to hear the teaching and I'm not turned back the rebellious way to know how to declare a word to the weary. Isaiah 50, that he should know how to declare what indeed is salvation, to prove foolish all the wisdom of the rulers. Come on, Isaiah 50 through 51. That shall show man the folly of what he has done in having sold himself out under the rule of others who can only offer them worthless damnations. None of them are saviors. The one that the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 51 through 5. The one the scriptures speak about in Isaiah 49, 1 through 6. What the 10th verse is made evident, that's latter-day prophecy according to Revelation 6:12 through 7:17. Don't know what I'm talking about? Check it out in the archives. Check it out on my website, hiddengospel.com. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Those scriptures say that one will come forth one day because Israel has sworn by the name of the Most High, but not according to all that is truth and not according to all that is righteousness. You got 45,000 denominations. Somebody's partial. Somebody's lying. Somebody's causing people to be flattened because of fatal flatteries. Falling short, my brothers and sisters. Flattened and fatally falling short. For trust in flattery. Standards not true to the Most High. It's hateful, my brothers and sisters. Whenever men promise men the hope of salvation, but after a standard less than what the Most High himself would decree, seeking even to negate the gift of the Holy Spirit that would teach all things that all might be one, pure and completion offering one choice. So I say, blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will understand beyond the illusion that's been presented in this world. We must know the way of peace. We must know the way of oneness. We must know what is complete before the Most High. Isaiah 49 speaks of the same one, saying that the Most High declared there's no peace to the wicked, no peace to the lawless, saying that, oh, that you kept my commandments, preserve what he declared from the beginning, then your peace would have been as a river and your righteousness the waves of the sea, and so many would not have been destroyed from before him. He comes to show you again the way beyond all this babble and beyond all this confusion and contention. Scripture in Isaiah 49 said he would come saying these words. Listen to me, O ye owls. How about telling all nations to shut up so we can get past all these arguments, all this indiscretion? Most High never said he would uphold anybody else's word but his own. Saying, listen to me, O owls. Hearken to me, O you nations. Most High has called me from the womb. Read Isaiah 49. Most High has called me from the womb and from the very body of my mother. Has he made mention or called me by my name, even called him according to his purpose. How about Most High says he will not give his glory to another. He will not give his name to another, meaning this one is called by the name of the Most High himself. saying, from the body of my mother, he made mention of my name. He's called me by name according to his purpose. Most High does not call a thing what it is not. Isaiah 50:10-11 said he would come forth, and the scriptures 1:4 admonish us. Whoever would serve the Most High and has no light, let him trust in him who is called by the name of the Most High and be saved by his Elohim. Scripture says the Most High, morning by morning, caused his ears to hear the teaching to restore humanity. First restore Israel and then all humanity to what is wise. Isaiah 49 said he would come forth saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken, all you nations, even afar off. The Most High has called me from the womb and from the body of my mother has he made mention. Call me by my name. Call me to my purpose. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword to declare indeed what is righteous, my brothers and sisters. A sharp sword. Hey, here's the whole truth that I told you. Here's the implications. Whoever will not hearken to that fullness, Scripture said, will be cut off like by a sword from among the people. Proven because they had not the will for the fullness of divine will. Not found worthy to be called the people. Look at Acts 3:18-23. Look at Isaiah 8:16-20. Look at Revelation 3:1-6. He says, seek his perfect will. I guess he come against you with the sword of his mouth. Revelation 19:11-21. See, out of his mouth come a sharp two-edged sword with which he should smite the nations. And he said, he will rule the nations with a rod of iron, an unflinching discipline. An exactitude, my brothers and sisters, as to what is the will of the Most High. Smiting all the nations because they would not walk after the fullness of what is divine righteousness, the fullness of what the Most High declared. Setting curses, contentions, warfare among the people. He says, comfort ye, O my people. Seek the fullness of his will for the time of your warfare, your contentions must come to an end. And all that is after the contrivances of the flesh should be as the grass that withers, the flower that fades. Blessed are they who will understand, my brothers and sisters. We all must see eye to eye what is the glory of the Most High. He says, made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. Has he hid me? Oh, one that only spiritual eyes can perceive. He says, the Son of Man does not come by ordinary observation. The King is right there among you. They translated that badly. They said, when they put in Luke 17, they put down there, the kingdom of Yah is within you. He was saying, the prince is right there among you, but you don't see him. Says like it was in the days of Lot and Noah. And Lot who wanted the city, Noah who wanted the world. As it was in the days of Lot and Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Scriptures go on and talk about a city, my brothers and sisters, a wicked city. Please, let's talk about sometime that the scriptures I have related in that article on my website, Secret City Prophecies, concerning that city, the scripture said Messiah would appear at before he is revealed to the world. And because the nations have not discerned his righteousness in his reproof, the wicked, the lawless, those who have not been forewarned, know no shame. Refusing to hear his greater words, the scripture said, because of this, the Most High will render wrath upon all nations, because that city is a miniature example of all the variant unrighteousnesses of a whole world. They didn't teach you about that, my brothers and sisters. They haven't taught you the gospel. If they didn't tell you the Messiah comes and he will expose all these fallen standards, declare the will of one, they have not preached to you the gospel. He says, made my mouth like a sharp sword. Strong discretion, absolute discretion, that all Israel might be healed and made true to the will of one. He said, in the shadow of his hand as he hid me. It means only the spiritual mind will discern him. Isaiah 45:15 says that people will say one day, surely thou art one that hidest thyself. In other words, get my point. Unless men are willing to seek Yah to the fullness, they will not discern him. Messiah said, no man come to me unless the Father draweth him. Even the caper, when they called Peter, when he said, you are the Kurdee, the son of living Yah. He said that Messiah said that was a revelation from the Most High. Shut up his hands, he hid me. Isaiah 49 calls him the hidden one or the concealed one. Isaiah 45:15 speaks the same. For convenient calls in the concealed one. All my brothers and sisters in Isaiah 41:25. They probably talk about one who comes from the north and the rising sun. The word Sophon means that this one is from the north. The scripture says put down from the north. How about one who is hidden and is concealed from men? Till he comes suddenly like the rising sun. Cast out all the darkness to reveal the light the world would obscure. And it said the princes, the various rudiments of the nations that have kept men beguiled under fallen social coalescences that were never a covenant with Yah. He said they'd be trodden down like martyrs, the pot of dressed clay. How shall the Most High reveal himself to his people that they are free, that they be free, but that they exceed the unrighteousness of rulers who hid the truth? He said he comes forth his mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand as he hid and made him a polished shaft. And his quiver has he hidden. Hid me. There's that word again. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Scripture there is talking about one, they put down polished shaft. Some say polished arrow. How about a well-refined, my brothers and sisters, bowman, one who does not miss the mark? He said he would give the nations as dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. Read Isaiah 41 and understand. The exactitude of his words should declare what is and what is not. He said to me, you are my servant, O Israel. Even the servant who awakens Israel and whom he will be honored, glorified. But the scripture says, even this one shall say in his awakening, that for a time I labored in vain. Even after the folly of this world, I spent my strength for a time for what is worldly vanity. Yet surely now my judgment is with the Most High, and my work, my reward, the result of all my conceits and thoughts is with the Most High. He said the Most High has called him, formed him from the womb of his mother to be to serve the cause of the Most High, the fullness of his righteousness, therefore to bring truth, Yaakov, the remnant of Israel, back to him, those who will hearken to the fullness of the truth. And though Israel be not gathered, he said, yet shall I be honored, even counted honorable. Glorious, revealing the fullness of an invariant light in the eyes of the Most High, because Yah has become my strength. It says the light theme, my brothers and sisters, then to awaken a people who know they must be one, and Israel must come to this. The other day I put up a show talking about the commandment that all Israel has broken, refusing to discern that all must be one unto salvation. So here, Israel, Yah is one. Lord, our Yah is one. Most High, our Yah is one. If he is all, to us all, one master, why, my brothers and sisters, do we see so many differences among us, except that there's a multitude of rulers, that when you tell them about the greater truth, they refuse to hear it? My brothers and sisters, Most High told me my purpose is to declare to you those things that for a long time have been missing. I can't tell you how many times it's been that church houses, that men call churches, that keep men still blinded in worldliness, still don't bring people out of the darkness into the light. When we start talking about truths they consider inconvenient, they tell you things like, hey, we don't talk about that in their churches, and they prefer that you keep silent. They tell me things like it's not about what the Bible says about them learning a profession. That means they're willing to sell you out for money. If you're willing to hear this flattering, foolish, false, short-sighted doctrine, they're willing to sell it. And I've heard them tell me that directly. Think about it. They have generic degrees at the hands of seminary leaders or seminary schools that offer out this thing they call a doctor of divine science degree. And right there in those institutions, they might have Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, all manner of varying denominations. Even people call themselves Hebrew Israelites. But they get their degree from an institution that hands out a generic degree that you can preside over any congregation you that will take you. Hired speakers, my brothers and sisters. Hired speakers are out for the money. They're not heirs of the house. But the true heir, the son, my brothers and sisters, you say, if he makes you free, if he shows you the greater truth, you'll be free indeed, because he's concerned about the inheritance that he receives from his father to the glory of his father. They told me, my brothers and sisters, so many times, they will sell you a lie if you're willing to buy it. But they're more concerned about their own pockets and pulpits than your soul. But my brothers and sisters, so many have been deceived by men such as this. Desiring to call themselves wise in their indiligence, their misrepresentative hypocrisy. I know, my brothers and sisters, that after seeing the things the Most High showed me before I started walking in these churches, I knew right off the top that what the Most High desires for his people is something far more. I remember telling a pastor one time that he told me that all you need for salvation was in his church. And my brothers and sisters, the Most High told me things with three words that were light years ahead of all that this pastor even could begin to utter. I looked at him like he was crazy. Because I knew the Most High by his spirit revealed so much more. That was the frailty of his knowledge. When the Most High reveals to you a truth way beyond what is ordinary, he sets you free. He sets you free to discern and seek him. Liberate your mind. Realize you need to seek beyond all blockages. What he said according to his covenant? He says he will write, describe his law upon the minds and hearts. How about fully? That no man should be able to dissuade his brother saying, know the Lord. For we all shall know him, that we be his people, redeemed from all others. It says a small thing, relatively lighter thing, lighter task, less difficult one, to raise up and awaken the people who know they must seek the greater will of Yah for the greater good of all. We have a love for Yah and a love for the brother. But among Gentiles who would sit back and say that they're somehow saved, worthy, after a false concept of Messiah who would give, seemingly give honor to all the sin, all the misallegiances, all the fallen stances of this world. More difficult task. But the Most High said he would send forth one who would call forth all the nations and all the denominations, all the variant rulerships of this world, saying, bring near all your strong arguments. And they'd be shown abominable, just the work of man's pride. Not giving consideration to all the Most High declared from the beginning. Not giving consideration of all the Most High declares as an eventuality. Not the result of men preaching the gospel, the fullness of the word. Read Isaiah 41, 21 through 42, 4. Because for a long time, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says you had none who would be a champion for those who would turn fully toward all righteousness. Leaders, my brothers and sisters, call themselves Hebrews. I'm hearing all kind of crazy doctrine. Rapture doctrine. Heaven help us. Total lie. Came forth from heathen, my brothers and sisters. Came from the Catholic Church. Romans. Seeking to hide the fact that they had been directly responsible for the demise and murder of so many saints. Come on, my people. Scripture didn't say anything after the designs of the flesh seeking to hide the iniquities of man would be acceptable to Yah. And blessed are they who will understand it. Let us be wise, my brothers and sisters, know we must seek beyond all this folly, knowing that without question, it's Yah and Yah alone that shows the truth beyond all these contentions. It's Yah and Yah alone that breaks the bondage, all these foolish arguments. No, the Savior comes to declare an absolute. and knowing that he comes to declare an absolute beyond all the rulers is an anti-exploitation mechanism. That blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, are they who know to seek the whole truth, that they might be true to it. In fact, they might find it. Until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I'm looking at the time. I've got a couple of minutes left. If anybody wants to call in, number is 661-554-9212. I said 661-554-9212. I give a few moments. Anybody might want to call in, ask some questions about some of the things that are said today, because I have a few moments. But if not, I will go ahead, my brothers and sisters, and offer a benediction. Ask the Most High for his blessing upon the ears that would hear, that he would guide and strengthen the minds and the hearts, that he would allow upon those who desire it a full armor, that they might be able to resist the wiles of any adversary who would turn them from seeking the fullness of what is necessary to be part of a covenant. And I thank the Most High indeed for every ear that he brings near, unto his might, unto his honor, my brothers and sisters, unto his glory and sovereign praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again.